Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnewell, Julie Hayden on this wonderful afternoon. The Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Tons of stuff to talk about today. The Elon Musk Twitter thing, the Tina Peters verdict, AI, Venezuelan gangs taking over Denver in spite
all
of-
All good stuff.
All good stuff. The world that Thomas and I were chatting about before, though, he's like, I was unaware of completely how many things are going crazy. But I started, though, we were starting the show, and Barney- who is
Barney.
On Zoom wanted to say
God.
Something. Barney, should we just jump right in and we'll go to you first?
Oh my God, it's Barney.
I just wanted you to know that when we see you guys, we can hear you talking. So, like, don't say anything bad about me. You know?
We know that. We're aware. I mean, you're
not easy to say good things.
No, we would never say something bad about you. But yeah, we're aware when we're talking to Thomas. And actually, I've learned initially 4 years ago the hard way that it's also going out on Facebook sometimes too. So, all right. Well, thank you. Feel free to jump back in if there's anything else you want.
How you been?
Well, I'll send Julie a message maybe later on. So,
okay. I'll keep an eye out for
it's,
it.
It's another story. Nobody needs to. All right. Okay. And you guys take care. We love you. So I'm here.
Okay.
Cool. All right.
All right. Well, glad to know. And we'll keep in mind. I mean, sometimes if you stay a little bit before and after the show, though, you hear all of the good stuff. And Thomas says it's all intentional, Barney. Okay. So I was saying about this today. And I think that the times that we are seeing now in terms of the changing role of the corporate or corrupt media, I think we're going to look back on this, Chuck, years from now, and it's going to be astonishing what a game changer it is. I think when we look at the way, like the younger kids, right? Particularly
the younger kids.
It's even younger.
Those in their early 60s.
No, yeah, exactly. But I think the way that
the kids,
they're going to be like, they're going to watch like movies of us watching TV news, and they're going to be like, what's that? Right? Or reading newspaper, and they're going to be like, what is that, like from, you know, the Greek era or something like that? And I think what we saw is why the mainstream corporate corrupt, whatever you want to call them, media is so freaking out about the Donald Trump, Elon Musk Twitter conversation is because it sort of foretold everything bad that's going to happen to them. It has had more than a billion views.
And the majority of them 18 to 34.
Right.
Which is shocking.
I mean, that's the coveted demographic. If that's the demographic
for advertisers, not for politics.
But I mean, still, I think even for politics, it kind of is, because that's a group of people whose minds can be changed, right?
Yeah, they can be changed. They don't often vote, but yeah.
That's why. Well, but the fact that, I mean, that's going to be freaking people out.
It is.
The reason they're attractive to advertisers is because their minds can be changed. They're not particularly loyal to any brand, right?
Yet.
And so they're willing to listen. And the fact that they were not only willing to listen, but they were willing to tune in, and then they were sharing it. I mean, that is, I think the game had already changed, but I think that is indicative of how much it changed.
Well, how many times do you think in the past 8+ years since Donald walked down the elevator, he has had what would be considered a friendly interview? Zero.
Yeah, even zero. From Fox, even from Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity always goes off in some weird stupid.
All right, well, you pledge that you will never overthrow the government.
Yeah. Well, and I think what was cool about it was it wasn't even an interview. It was, and Elon Musk said that it's a conversation. I think These are two men, brilliant in their own ways, certainly disruptors in their own ways, and yet they agreed, I mean, on the what we need to do as a country going forward, which all the 18 to 34-year-olds agreed with, which we agree with, everybody, but the Democrats
We're in
actually,
that
we're in
demographic.
that demographic. The Democrats actually probably even agree with it. They just don't like it because it keeps them out of power.
They don't agree with
All
that.
right, well, I think they understand how to fix inflation. They just don't want to, I guess, is
No,
what.
they don't understand anything. They never have.
Okay. Well, all right.
How to fix a homeless problem, how to fix a rise in prices, inflation,
Oh,
everything.
it's government, government. But anyway, I guess my thing, so I wanted to talk about that. This is from Charlene. The mainstream media is losing control. And that is absolutely right. And I mean, actually, I think they've lost it. When I was talking to just a friend the other day, and we were talking about something, and she was saying, I haven't actually watched the news. And she said, and I'm even talking cable TV, Fox, she said, in probably 3 years. She said, and it was interesting the other day, Rev, our 13-year-old son, said to me, hey, what do you think about this, Kamala Harris using AI to generate fake images at her campaign. At I'm like, where'd you hear that? I mean, it's true, right? And he said TikTok. I mean, so he gets it from his TikTok. He doesn't even get it from YouTube. YouTube is
Yesterday's
it's
news.
yesterday's, like, a media platform. You might as well go on MySpace or something like that from his. And so the corporate media, I think they've lost the game already, and they're just
They hope not, and because
now.
they made every effort to sanctize Kamala Harris. I mean, everything is the world, and same with Tim Walz. With Walz, it's been less successful. With Walz, it's even though they've had to, you can tell when the conservative media is getting to them when they have to run up defenses. Their first thing is just don't do anything, don't say anything, just shut up.
Well,
And then if that doesn't kill the story, then they have to put defenses into. Oh yeah, well, Tim, you can't. A brave veteran like Tim Walz, how dare you denigrate his service?
but they're talking. I guess my point is I think what we saw in the Trump Twitter conversation is, and Charlene makes it too, they used to be just boring talking heads. Now they are irrelevant and boring. And I think that's true. I think that what the mainstream, whatever you want to call them, corrupt liberal media, whatever you want to call them, right? We all know what we're talking about. I think they are more irrelevant than people like us even realize, because we're still part of, I mean, we still read newspapers, right? The newspaper business model has completely failed just because the world changed, the internet changed things. I think Twitter, and thank God for Elon Musk, it's kind of funny because I think initially the government created Twitter to control things, and now it's backfired and they can't control it at all. And we'll get into some sound bites where they're trying. But I think, I mean, even anymore now, because I'm a news junkie, always have been. And so when something's breaking, like with the assassination attempt a month ago is a perfect example, right? There was the time when I would kind of rapidly cycle through all the news or the news websites, right? To see what was the latest. I don't even bother anymore. I just go to Twitter because Twitter keeps you up to date. And the community notes thing, if it's something fake, it pretty quickly gets called out. And I would say I had an interesting Twitter exchange with Ernest Lunning, and reporters know this. So this is back, what, a month ago when Todd Watkins was going to hold this first
Trader
fake
Todd.
meeting. Trader Todd was going to hold this first fake meeting. And then the judge issued a temporary restraining order. And so we were reporting it. I was tweeting it. And I looked to see if anybody was actually reporting it on their websites. And Colorado Politics did not happen. It still had a thing saying the meeting was taking place. So I kind of tweeted at, Ernest Lunning, who I think is a good rep in general. I like Ernest Lunning, right?
He's the best of the worst.
Exactly. And I said, hey, catch up, right? That the judge issued a temporary restraining order. So he kind of clapped back at me saying, you catch up. I tweeted that over an hour ago. And I said, oh, silly me, I was looking at your website. I mean, it wasn't, I think, until hours later, possibly even the next day, that they even bothered to update their website. So even reporters know their websites, right? Their newscasts, their broadcasts are irrelevant, right? The only place that, not the only place, but the main place people are going to get information is Twitter. And it does, I mean, there was a time in the news industry where you would have tweeted that update, but immediately updated it on your website. Now no one bothers because they know that no one is
What they
going
really
there.
lost is the patina of being objective. It used to be
Right.
you read the New York Times, you read the Wall Street Journal, you ABC, NBC, CBS, and they if you were watching them, you'd say, well, these people are objective, or, you know, maybe they have a liberal bias, but they try to be, you know, hard now. And I think we have a clip with Colbert. It's a joke.
Right, and we'll get to that too.
It's a joke.
Well, and
And so they know, read MSNBC, because I certainly do, and it comes across as propaganda. It doesn't come across as really biased, but fooling you by being objective. No, it comes across as being propaganda.
well, and they're panicking too. I mean, first you had in Europe, the head of the European Union
Not the head
is,
of the Ukraine Union.
well,
He was
one of the, okay, a guy in the
a
European.
minister of one of the.
Okay, so he said that they'll extradite Elon Musk and throw him in jail for spreading disinformation,
Oh,
right?
that's the head of the London police did too.
Right, they said that too. And the Washington Post is basically begging the Biden White House administration to censor and intervene in this. Thomas, if
Because you know, as their thing says, democracy dies in darkness.
if we could please play, this is a Washington Post reporter right before the Twitter conversation between Trump and Musk. If we could please play, Thomas, the WaPo censor soundbite.
But I think that misinformation on Twitter is not just a campaign issue. It's a, you know, it's an America issue. What role does the White House or the president have in sort of stopping that, or stopping the spread of that, or sort of intervening in that? Some of that was about campaign misinformation, but you know, it's a wider thing, right?
Yeah, no, I know you've heard us talk about this many times from here about the responsibilities that social media platforms have when it comes to misinformation, disinformation. Don't have anything to read out from here about specific ways that we're working on it, but we believe that they have the responsibility. These are private companies, so we're also mindful of that too. Look, it is, I think it is incredibly important to call that out as you're doing. I just don't have any specifics on what we have been doing internally as it relates to the interviews, and that's something that I'm tracking, and I'm sure the president's not tracking it.
Oh, I'm sure the intelligence community is tracking
Oh, exactly. And this is from Charlene. Twitter was supposed to be their tool. Now it's backfired. Love the laws of unintended consequences. And Jim, I'll get to this too. Advertising is struggling to give pertinent ads that actually work. Revolution is coming there too. Sandra says she needs to put the clown face back on. And then from Charlene, they want you listening to highbrow PBS with their fake accents that prove they're smarter than you. Well, and none of that is working. There is an
Well,
interest.
PBS no longer tries that. I mean,
Yeah.
they are so biased. I used to listen to PBS even though they were biased, but now I can't stand it. It's just such propaganda. It's not worth listening to.
And the thing is it's only going to get worse. There was an interesting article in Hollywood Reporter today, and it was some industry head talking to other industry heads, and they're saying they've realized for a while that the broadcast industry, I mean cable, right? So your cable networks, and most people get their network news over the cable anyway, right? You have a cable company, and that's where you subscribe to the channels there. And they weren't just talking about news; they were talking overall. They said that they've realized for a while now that that business model, kind of like the newspaper business model, thanks to the internet, is failing. But he said they are shocked and disappointed and stunned at how quickly it's failing. And what's happened is it's kind of snowballing because you have a number of people cutting the cord, so to speak. I mean, I don't know anyone younger than us who actually has a cable subscription. My daughter keeps saying, "Why do you even have a cable?" And I'm like, "I don't know, because they don't know how to not do it, right?" Basically,
That's right.
it was just, and that's the only reason,
Right,
right? I don't know
right.
how to not do it. But more, I'm like a minority, right? More and more people, number one, are not signing up to begin with. Those who are signing up are now cutting the cord. So what happens there is, well, now your ad revenue starts going down. Right. So the ad agencies have now realized that they're pulling the ads off of
Or they're
cable
paying a great deal
TV,
less.
right? Or they're paying a great deal less and they're putting it all on streaming. And so it's going to accelerate. I mean, and this guy was saying the only thing that's keeping Fox Corporation alive is sports. Right. I mean, you still have to watch sports live, but I just saw, I think, is it Rumble signed a deal with an NFL team or some kind of professional team today, right? Or yesterday, soon. So, but I mean, even all the professional teams are going Peacock. You look at that, they're going to the streaming devices, which is gonna, because that's where the audience is, right? So I think it's going to happen even faster, and that's going to happen even quicker in television news. This is from Jacob. This is from X. There are a few demographics of the interview this past Monday. Here's a very important insight. 94% of the listeners are under 45 years of age, wow, and almost evenly divided between male and female. Older, more mature, and grannies and grandpas skip the interview completely. Another insight, the younger generation were curious about Trump and would have been horrified what they heard from them. The latter have never voted before and registered as Democrats or are switching to Republicans to Democrats in record numbers. And then Charlene says, good point, Jim. I get ads that are not put to me all the time. Jim had mentioned the ads are going to be fucking. And then Barney Timpon is a war hero. He won the war on fourth grade boys menstruating. And then from Charlene, so I guess Trump and Tina are both convicted felons, now outlaws. Oh my gosh, you got a ton of comments. Let me see. Hate those from Bar Assholes, Sandra Snarky, Northeastern. Thanks for the PBS total crap. Mm-hmm. Jacob, I listen to NPR every morning, as that's the only station I get on my clock radio. I get a good laugh every morning. A bunch of sad people. Jacob, Barney says, Jacob, you're a better man than me. And then Leo, DirecTV is advertising, not needing a dish. All is streaming now. Just hope your internet provider does not filter content. Well, that's something else. And then, you know, you may need to go with VPN services. And Jacob, the NFL experimented with streaming services last year with great success. Yeah, all of those things are true. And what that all adds up to, so the newspaper model was already failing, right? Now you've got the broadcast or the, you know, the network, the cable TV thing failing too. And the corporate media, I mean, they're just panicked. They're freaking out, right?
Well, of course they're freaking out. And their control over the one guy, the little guy, first came out and said, you know, having the corporate media on our side is 15 points. And he said, well, maybe I exaggerated, maybe it's 5 or something, but it probably is 15, and they're about to lose it.
Right.
And so it's fascinating. I mean, Kamala Harris is leading on some of these polls, if you can believe the polls, which of course you can't.
Right.
And so it's they're panicking, and really a billion people. Wow.
I mean, well, and it's not necessarily people, that's views. So it's kind of hard to tell, but there's not. But I mean, that's the number of times that somebody looked at it right now. Who knows if they listened to it? But what I think when you look at the polls, what's particularly interesting. So out of the billion views, right, 94% of them were in this demographic, this younger demographic, right? That's a demographic that polling people can't get. Right. That's a demographic. They don't have landlines. Right. They don't answer. Even I hardly answer my cell phone anymore if I don't recognize a number. Right. Nice. These are people who, if you're a polling company and you're trying to get a hold of an 18 to 34 year old, you just can't. Right.
Well,
and
I think that 90% thing is up to 45 and younger. But okay. A huge number.
But even still, I would bet most of those people, I mean, I bet the vast majority of those. So the polls, I think, also are becoming increasingly irrelevant, right?
Well, they can
now,
always.
Companies don't want to tell you that. But,
well, that's not irrelevant. You just have to adjust for it like anything else. And how you adjust, of course, is how skewed it can get.
Right.
They can certainly say, okay, we're not reaching these people, but if we did, we got a factor.
Of all the dead people that we were able to get hold of, all the dead and illegal immigrants that we were able to get hold of, Kamala's winning hands down, right? And then Charlene, the USA cabal is freaking out, had to get EU schmuck to do their dirty work threatening Musk. And then she's also saying, with Sandra, they have Roku also, rarely stream any garbage. Sanders says, I gave up the corrupt little liberal media TV a long time ago, only have Roku. Well, and here's the thing too. So now, you know, Google, so the Washington Post and all these corrupt media people who are complaining about, oh, you know, actually being able to listen to the whole interview. It's funny what Google is doing. So I don't know if you guys have watched this. So, and Axios, I think, actually kind of did a story on this. So what the Kamala Harris, let me back up. You know how when you search on Google, if you search like, I don't know, whatever, weather, sunset times in Denver, right? Immediately a bunch of ads start coming up, right? But it's kind of hard to tell sometimes the ads from the real thing. Like, it, you know, it could be like a weather ad kind of thing. And so if you're searching up something political, all this Kamala stuff is coming up, right? But what the Harris campaign is doing, and I can't believe this isn't in collusion with Google, because otherwise it wouldn't have worked. So It says sponsored in teeny tiny letters.
Yes, even in Breitbart.
Right.
Teeny tiny.
And but what it looks like is so that it'll say New York Times. It'll be a headline, right? And that there really is a New York Times article with that headline. So that's legit. But then the campaign is writing the second part. So it'd be like New York Times headline, Kamala is joyful candidate. And they'll be like, Trump is dark and doom and will kill all your children. I mean, that's an exaggeration, but that's what it's
not
doing.
Not much.
But yeah, and so it's pretending. They're pretending to be legitimate news stories that you can then click on. And really, all they are campaign ads.
Well,
and
can you imagine, you know, a district court, federal district court found that Google is an illegal monopoly. And that will change the world because the search
right.
engine, if you go to an alternative search engine, it's really Google. And it's just played around with and
right.
made a little shittier.
Right.
But it's really based on Google.
Well,
and so if it's actually... broken up. That'd be the greatest
thing
ever.
That'd be another yeah. huge thing too. Well, and what's interesting is, so yeah, as Leo says, Facebook and Google, YouTube are all in on Kamala. That's right. I mean, I have no doubt that the Harris campaign, they're not spending all that time and energy putting these fake things together if they thought Google was going to immediately ban it. Apparently, there's supposed to be a Google algorithm that bans it, but there was a glitch. We'll get to that in a second. But it is interesting because the same people who are so concerned about Donald Trump spreading disinformation didn't have any trouble with Kamala Harris doing this. None of the news organizations are upset that they did this. And I'll say Fox did a pretty good report on this. And so if we could please, Thomas, play the Kamala fake ad soundbite.
The trick was, we'll make it like an ad and we'll reframe the headline so that when you're searching, maybe you see the spot, you read the headline, but maybe you don't understand that it's actually sponsored by the campaign. Show it, guys. Here we go. So this involved what? They cited CNN, NPR, Reuters, Associated Press, The Guardian a lot. And you would see this as you were going through your internet search. And well, that's cheap.
Wow, it is. Yeah, this is really, and I should also point out that Google says that there was a glitch in their system that meant that some of the sort of barriers that they try to put in to make it clear what this is weren't working. Oops. I wonder if it was true for other campaigns as well. We don't know that yet, but they say they're looking into that. But just as an example, so this is a Guardian headline. VP Harris fights abortion bans. Harris defends reproductive freedom. Well, those things are true. That's a, you know, factual statement. That's something that she backs and supports. But then they have a description under the headline. So you know how there's a headline when you read a news story. Then there's a, like an under headline that you read in the news story. But it says this, VP Harris is a champion for reproductive freedom and will stop Trump's abortion bans. So the second line in what looks like a news story is actually a campaign slogan, a campaign statement. And, you know, people are, we all look at so much information, take in so many things so quickly throughout the day, right? This is very subtle, very manipulative. And in a moment when you also have a stepped up threat from Iran trying to get their bots into all of this and influence people in ways that are very subtle and difficult to figure out, this is something that I think requires a lot of diligence on the part of people who are looking for this information.
And Google says it just what? They got one by the goalie here?
Yeah, Google says, well, there was a glitch. There's supposed to be more disclosure that this is an ad, a campaign ad, and they're gonna work on
it. It makes me think of the one Washington Post reporter in the briefing room on the day before Elon Musk and Donald Trump were going to have their conversation. And he says, is the White House doing anything to stop this conversation because it's going to be so filled with disinformation?
Right.
Where I was like, that's actually a conversation that you could listen to and you could decide. But this
exactly.
is actually changing. And plus, her coverage is so good. You think that they'd be happy enough with the headlines that they have.
Yeah, you would think that, you know, but they are obviously working hard to get these subtle messages into different places. And most of these news organizations had no idea that their articles were being used in this way and manipulated. Just as an example, right? If we do an interview and we take a soundbite, we've sat with someone, right? And you can't pick out certain parts and move it to other places to misconstrue the meaning or to put in meaning that wasn't something that that person said. You have to, and the Musk-Trump interview is a perfect example. You know, it was just straight on through.
Yeah.
Anybody wants to listen, you can
just
listen.
Just one big comment here.
This is manipulative, to be sure.
80-plus days to go here. My sense is, unless the media comes around, and I'm not expecting them to, media's not going to look very good at the end of this campaign. I mean, we're seeing stuff that we... that is so obvious.
And obviously that's a trend that has continued very sadly, because the initial egregious behavior was the complete ignoring of what was so obviously a decline for the current president and concerns about whether or not he could serve another 4 years, right? And those things didn't start to break apart until we got to see with our own eyes what happened on June 27th. And suddenly, you know, George Clooney's writing op-eds saying like, oh my gosh, he has to go. So the press is under a tremendous amount of scrutiny. Perhaps they should be under a lot more scrutiny based on the way that they're handling this. It's not good for the American people. The American
That was long, but I think there were so many interesting points in that, right? I mean, let's talk about the Google glitches for a second. Okay, so Google, didn't they have the same glitch that, like, wasn't, if you put in Trump assassination, it's like there's no assassination, right? The same Google glitch said there was no assassination attempt on Trump. Same Google glitch and Facebook glitch, you know, there's no, the assassination picture doesn't come up, right? Or this assassination attempt picture. So their glitches all seem to go one way.
Isn't that strange?
And from Charlene, yes, a Kamala ad is first on my YouTube feed. I have to wait 5 seconds before I skip it. She wants $5 from you in order to trick people into becoming a small-time donor to offset the oligarch billionaires. And then from Charlene, yeah, like the Janet Jackson wardrobe glitch. They are no glitches. And now the Fox
News. Coincidences, right? But they're no glitches.
I'm just going to blame everything on Iran so we can attack them. That's true.
Yeah. Right. Military industrial, that's going to be great.
That's right. It's the whole thing. Exactly. So the fact that they're going to look bad, they already look bad. And now we'll play your Stephen Colbert soundbite. People know anymore. And that there's a reason they're becoming increasingly irrelevant. And that's because they are increasingly irrelevant. And people know that, right? Mm-hmm. No matter how much they scream. And, you know, if you're a news junkie like me, I think we don't really appreciate the true degree of decline in interest. I don't think we appreciate.
Well, it's not hidden. It is always there. But now they've stopped hiding it, which is bad for them. They do a lot better when it's a little more subtle. And a lot more effective.
But so this was came. So Caitlin Collins, a horrible CNN anchor, was on Stephen Colbert, was a complete lefty.
That's redundant.
Okay. Was on Stephen Colbert, who's a lefty, right? So he's going to have a liberal audience. And when he tries to say, oh, CNN is objective, listen to what happens. I mean, and this was spontaneous, I think, right?
Oh, it was. If
please play the Colbert soundbite.
Honestly, it was.
The Colbert soundbite, Thomas.
I know you guys are objective over there, that you just report the news as it is.
No, I know. CNN makes it. And I know
that's supposed to be a laugh line.
I wasn't supposed to be, but I guess it is.
I mean, it's funny. So the audience, when he starts saying CNN is an objective thing, the audience spontaneously breaks out in laughter because they think he's joking.
Yeah, they think it's a joke.
Yeah. And then he's kind of stuck. Now, she handled it well. I'll give her that.
Yeah.
But that's got to be somewhat embarrassing to her that when, you know, that they think that that's a joke. So again, they're not hiding it very well. And I think it's going to get worse. And I think these are just really just interesting times that we see.
Anecdotal evidence.
Well, it'd be curious. It is got to be kind of interesting if you're running a campaign. How do you do it? But I'm going to go back to that. There's no way that the Harris campaign put together all those ads if they thought that Google was going to ban them, right? I mean, that cost time and energy and
money.
I'm
sure they consulted with their representative.
Right.
Before they gave him millions of dollars.
Right. Exactly. And that Google's like, oh, it's a glitch. And I guess I wonder how many other glitches are going to let that go through. I still wonder, though, if people are fooled that much by that anymore.
People are fooled by everything.
Okay. I guess you're right.
It's amazing how often. And sometimes they don't care if they're being fooled. You know, it's just like, well, I don't pay that much attention to it.
Right. Well, this from Charlene. Oh, Julia, that was perfect. That wasn't supposed to be a laugh line. Well, exactly. I mean, and that says everything. And I think it says how out of touch people like Colbert are. I mean, because these are lefties who are in his audience, right? If you're, I mean, you know, that's not filled with grassroots Republicans, right? And, you know, I wouldn't imagine, right? Oh, this is from Jacob. A beached whale died on the East Coast. This is the largest concentration of blubber since The View started airing. Well, those people too are irrelevant, right? I mean, the people who watch them, they're all preaching to the choir. But it's just interesting, the fake news. And people, I mean, can we want to switch gears and talk a little bit about this whole, well, I want to talk about, we want to bring you up to date.
The Washington WOPO.
We already played it.
There was one more. I can't. Oh, well.
No. Okay. We want to get another fake news thing, too. This whole, yeah, I can't stand Caitlin Collins either, Sandra. Yes, as Charlene says, even lefties in the audience know about the CNN bias. From Barney, Tina Peters. Yeah, we can. She was convicted. Clearly, as Ash was reporting, they did not believe the guy who was trying to say she tricked him into stealing his identity. They didn't. So they didn't convict her on that, but they did on everything else.
Well, 7 of the 10, but she's lucky she got 7 of the 10. And as a practical matter, the judge has been unbelievably biased,
right,
and unfair, stopping every defense that they had and knocking down their witnesses. I mean, trials today in the lefty courts of Colorado, as well as the rest of the country, are really revolting. And this is a revolting decision that makes you hate Colorado judiciary all the more. And there's plenty of reasons for the Colorado Supreme Court knocking Trump off the ballot to this
yeah.
abortion.
Right. Well, and I mean, yes, Tina can appeal it. And I think she's indicated might appeal it, but that'd be pointless.
Well, no, it won't be pointless, but you're going up to the hacks and all of them appointed by Democratic ones, and the Court of Appeals is worse these days than the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court is incredibly biased.
Well, and it'd go to a Supreme Court, the Colorado Supreme Court, that said that January 6th was an insurrection,
right?
So that's where you go. Can the judge be voted out? Yes, Jacob, the judge can be voted out.
Vote no for all of them.
Yeah, just vote no on all judges. I don't know when this judge is up for re-election. My guess is he would not know. From what I understand, the sentencing range is anywhere from 7 to 22 years. Typically, and we'll see, typically the judges, like they have you serve the sentences at this concurrently at the same time, if it's all kind of around the same crime. Right. But I don't know. Always there are arguments by both sides, and you know this, on what the sentencing range can be. The defense is going to have its interpretation, the prosecution its interpretation. I suspect the judge will do everything he can to give her the harshest sentence. Yes. Because remember, this is, it's not just about Tina Peters. There's another election coming up soon. This is about shutting anyone up and threatening anyone and intimidating anyone who dares to question Jenna Griswold and the corrupt Secretary of State's office and the corrupt clerk and reporter's offices and things like that. I mean, that's what this is about, right? This is making sure that no one questions the election results. And so my guess would be, now the sentencing is in October, I think, that the judge gives her a harsh sentence. What do you think?
Yeah, every indication that he will.
Yeah. Moving on to, though, another sort of court thing. So remember, so Trader Todd Watkins had his first fake meeting that the judge said issued a temporary restraining order on so they couldn't hold their fake meeting. So then they presented briefs, and Todd Watkins is now scheduled another fake meeting, I think, for the 20th, I forget.
17.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Don't go because it's a fake meeting and it won't count. And yesterday, both sides filed briefs on why and what they think the judge should do, because there is a preliminary injunction motion still out there pending.
And the question becomes, once again, does he have jurisdiction over it? And that's always, you know, if they want to have jurisdiction, they have it. If they don't, they don't. He's already found one not to have jurisdiction. So my guess, it'll be a second one.
But they presented briefs and they'll learn by Friday. Theoretically, there could be a hearing on Friday about it. But in the meantime, though, again, keep in mind, the state executive committee ruled the petitions weren't valid because it was just a list of names. There was no information about, were these people actually voting members? Did they actually agree to put their names on the petition? And then Todd issued that ridiculous letter explaining the meeting that, you know, he just made up bylaws. Number one,
rules. Special meeting rules.
That's right. And in the special meeting rules, it says that the party chair and the party vice chair and secretary are the ones who will run the meeting, which of course they're not going to because it's not a real meeting. So Dave and Anna and Hope are not going to be going. And he doesn't address in his special rules what happens then.
Oh, yeah.
So they'll just pass their own special rules, right? I mean, he's just going to, it'll be the Todd Watkins, the Trader Todd show. And then they're going to, but the whole thing is a joke, right? But what we've been saying all along is that the petition is completely invalid, because keep in mind, so the state executive committee said We will look at the petition if you correct these things. Just give us the emails of the people, you know what I mean? Have verify that the person is an actual voting member and verify that the person actually wanted their name on the petition. Again, that's what, 114 names, something like that?
They had 114, they needed 105. Yeah, it's always a little unclear because the number of SEC members varies.
Okay. Either way, that's the work of an afternoon, right? As I keep saying, if you have 105 people who support your cause, you just send them out an email real quick. You don't even need a special MailChimp account to do that, right? You can just do that on your, you know, Hotmail account. And so you send them out and you tell the people, hey, look, I just need you to verify you're a voting member and that you want your name. I mean, that should be done. Boom. Right. A month goes by. I've been saying the reason they don't want to do that is because they know they don't have the signatures. Well, inadvertently, I think Chris Murray, the $800 an hour or so attorney that Watkins has hired, I'm not sure how, it was indicating in a Colorado Sun article, well, they've been able to get 50 declarations from people that the signatures are valid. So that's 50. So in over a month time, they haven't even been able to get half
of
the people.
You can't take now, he'll have a new one. We'll add new ones, another 50. You can't do that. You've got to start again. You can't just say this is a rolling number for a number of years, and we get to the number, we'll call the meeting.
Even so, though, they can't even get with their original group of names that they claim wanted to be on this petition. They can't even get half of them to say, yes, I want to be in the petition. I mean, and then so Chris Murray said, well, we've got like 50, and if we can't get the rest validated, well, that's okay. So
because we don't need to.
So that's clearly an acknowledgement that they can't, which means that the signatures were not valid, which, you know, hopefully will, you know, people will be like, no, I'm not going to go to the meeting. And again, if Todd wanted to, he could have a, he also could come and appeal the decision on August 31st, a week later. Right. And they don't, Chris Murray's like, no, we don't want to do that either. Well, it's kind of like, that'd be like me saying, I mean, it's kind of like how they do things in Venezuela, right? Where you just have an election.
Which we are.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Venezuela is here if you want to do some of the latest stories coming down here.
Right. So it's just, so that's the latest there. There might be hearing tomorrow. My sense is that the fake petition and the fake meeting move is sort of fizzling out, right? I think we're hearing from people that maybe initially were mad at Dave, but are now saying, you know, look, we need to win in November. If we don't like Dave, we can vote him out in March. It's just,
well, this is insane. I mean, this is, will go well through September and into October when the ballots are already out. So it shows you who the establishment cares about, which is themselves. And
right,
they can buy somebody like Todd Watkins to do it.
And as Charlene knows, 50 is different than 100. Exactly. So, I mean, which, now I don't know if the people change their mind. I don't know if they're all on vacation, but you'd think in a month's time, you could drive around and knock on everyone's door for Pete's sakes and ask him to sign it, right? And then from Sandra, is Chris Murray on his own? He was an attorney with the Brownstein Law Firm. That's correct, Sandra, he was, and now he's on his own.
He's with the First and 14th Law Firm, which is a strange name for a law firm. I looked them up. They've got like 7 or 8 partners and 2 associates, which, you know, you got a lot of lone wolves out there and 2 overworked associates.
Yeah. So hopefully, my guess is, keep in mind, the establishment elite is not going to drop this. They're going to continue attacking Dave. They're going to continue attacking grassroots because it is, as we keep saying, it's not really Dave they hate. It's the fact that the grassroots is growing in power. But kind of like the media, right? They're a dinosaur, and they're slowly sinking into their own swamp,
into their muck,
right? And they're screaming and fighting the whole way. And no one, it's not working. And I don't think this is going to work either. And I would hope that, as we said before, they need to stop it and start focusing on winning the election. I mean, they're the ones who cry unity. Anything else you wanted to say on that? Because I wanted to.
Well, I've filed a complaint against the August 27th meeting, saying, you know, this, if the petition was invalid before, for the July 24th, it's invalid for the July 27th, among many other.
Well, see, and all these other things to vote on too, right? And I mean, there's all this other stuff going on. I wanted to talk about, going back to fake news, what's kind of interesting is, I don't know if you've been following the situation in Aurora. So
How can you not?
Yeah, how can you not? Well, again, because people, nobody reads
Right.
the corporate media anymore. So there has been in Colorado, as well as around the country, a massive influx of this very brutal, violent Venezuelan drug cartel gang. Right. And as evidence in Aurora a few weeks ago after the election, when like some 4,000 people essentially shut down and terrorized the mall there, at, like Havana and Mississippi.
Yeah.
Right. They had to shut down the Target and everything like that because they essentially had a riot there. And the cops said it was a mostly peaceful protest.
Mostly peaceful.
Newcomers. But anyway, some of the newcomers, apparently, and this is clever of them, are taking over apartment complexes in Aurora. Well, I mean, if you're gonna, if you're going to be a drug cartel, you need a headquarters, right?
Everybody does.
Everybody needs a headquarters. And so what you take over an apartment complex.
And who cares who owns it? I mean, yeah.
Well, exactly. And so the there's been this ongoing thing, and it's like at 15th and Nome, so Colfax and Nome, just kind of now, sort of in the heart of downtown Aurora, where what used to be downtown Aurora, and
downtown Venezuela.
Downtown Venezuela anymore, right? And the it's just atrocious conditions. If you look at some of the pictures, it's just garbage is piled up. It's, you know, and the property management company and the owners keep saying the Venezuelan gang has taken over. They threaten to kill us. We can't work there anymore, right? Our staff can't work there. Our management, because the Venezuelan gang.
It's an enforcement problem. It's not a code violation problem.
Right. Yeah. It's not that we're not willing to fix this stuff. It's not that we haven't tried to fix this stuff. It's that the Venezuelan gang cartel people tell us they will kill us if we do, right? And all the people living there are Venezuelans. So who are now complaining because the conditions there are so bad, the violence there is so bad, that the city essentially closed it down and said it's not fit for habitation. So they condemned it. And now all of the Venezuelans are complaining they don't have anywhere to go. Now, I would raise my hand first off and say, how about we deport them back to Venezuela?
That'd be
I mean,
an idea.
I mean, there's just a concept. Just call me crazy, but there's a concept. But the city and Kyle Clark from Channel 9, we are not allowed to question newcomers, even if they're members of a violent Venezuelan drug cartel gang.
Well, which is amazing is the Aurora mayor, Mike Kaufman, who's a Republican, said, yeah, there's no problem here.
No Venezuelan gang members here. I know that, like, everyone here is Venezuelan, and I know they all have guns, and I know they all have the Venezuelan gang tattoo, and I know, because apparently the law enforcement community put out a bulletin saying that they've been given, like, a green light to kill cops, right? So the
why not?
Right? So
why not?
It's like...
freedom, liberty.
Exactly. And so they're like, okay, cool, which means, you know, again, if they did in Aurora or the Denver metro area, nothing would happen to them, right? Which
well,
they know.
Yeah, sure.
Well, who's going to... So if you're going to run a violent drug cartel, you need a headquarters, right? So of course you take over. And it wasn't just this apartment complex. Apparently they've taken over several apartment complexes because who's going to snitch on them? I mean, it just makes it so much
we'll
easier.
Get Kyle Clark and what's the other investigator? Zingler?
Marshall Zellinger.
Zellinger.
Well,
they get them out and say, no, don't believe your eyes.
Yeah.
This is all great. This is just, you know.
Oh, they're like, there's no, which, and I, at first I was like, why would they, I mean, that's even a better story, right? That there's a Venezuelan drug gang that's taken over property, right? And then you realize because it doesn't go with the narrative. These are just nice newcomers who are celebrating Venezuelan culture.
So Venezuelan democracy.
Property management company, why would they make this up, right? And not only that, but the tenants tell some media organization, oh, no, it's true. It's true.
Well, they have all kinds of people saying it's true. Then Kyle Clark is not true.
That's right. It's just, not true. But
you
got to
give Kyle Clark credit for being just insane.
Down. He's just doubled down on it. It's not even remotely true, right? But Fox 31 went out and did a story on it. I'm just going to play a little clip. And this is, they did an interview on the phone. And the guy is anonymous because he says, they will come kill me. Okay. They said they will come kill me. So I don't want my name and information out there too much, but he flat out told them, this is what's going on. So Thomas, if we could please play the Venezuelan gang video.
And they signed it off.
He claims the reason the 99-unit building is being vacated is because the residents and building owners of the property have been left in a state of fear and chaos because of Venezuelan gang violence. It's the reason why he wanted to remain anonymous.
Is that I believe it's inappropriate of the city to be blaming an issue that has to do with law enforcement and gangs, violent gangs taking over buildings and trying to use it as a scapegoat, that it has to do with, you know, code violations or repairs that weren't done in apartments. It's a nonsense argument.
He flat out says that, right? No, and then the police are kind of being weird about it, but Mike Kaufman says,
well, the police chief is doing the Kyle Clark, you know, Mike Kaufman thing. All the regular officers on down are going, this is insane.
Right. And again, rather than just deal with it and go, I don't know, arrest the violent criminal gang members, right? They're just like, no, it's a property manager's fault, right?
Code violations.
Now, that's a little inconvenient for the gang, but fortunately, they apparently have other properties that they've taken over too. And apparently, they're planning another mass demonstration for Saturday in Aurora, because some Aurora City Council members...
Get down there, get your tickets.
Are saying, are we going to try to do something? Like, I mean, because the last time they did it, the cops were like, well, yeah, there were some guns fired, but that was in celebration. It's like, what? It's like people were locked inside the Target because it was too dangerous, right? And they like, you saw that they're like, it was just a handful of newcomers. And then you see the pictures and it's like 4,000 people.
They didn't show it there, but it's all this trash now on the property. And it's just, It's a great thing, America.
You know, and again, it's like, some traumas, violent gangs. No, they're simply enthusiastic immigrants. That's right. And my other comment is, Aurora always sucked. Maybe they deserve this. There's some truth to that, Sandra. But it's it's happening in Denver too. The same thing where they allow the criminal elements. And to me, though, this is particularly outrageous because this didn't just happen overnight, I would imagine. I would imagine that slowly but surely, and the only reason they're there is because they know Aurora won't do anything. If Aurora started and arrested them, they would go someplace else because that disrupts their business model.
They go to
right?
Wheatridge or Westridge.
Exactly. They go to the next city.
And Aspen. They're into Aspen.
Yeah.
A lot of lefties up there.
They'll go down to wherever Kyle Clark lives. Maybe they go to his neighborhood and take over apartment complexes there. He'd be like, they're just newcomers here. But that's what Colorado's come to, right? And you read in the thing, it's like one of the most violent, crime-ridden states ever. And again, I keep talking about this Twitter, and it's on Instagram too, Do Better Denver. They follow this. Even they gave up. I mean, they're persistent. And they're like, oh, we don't know what to do anymore. This is the last time we're posting on this because it's so obvious. The city and the cops won't deal with it. It's a waste of our time. And it's like, if the people of Aurora and if the people of Denver want this to be their city, there's only so much we can do, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you want violent Venezuelan gangs taking over your city,
why not? Wouldn't everybody want that? I mean, you know, just a little diversity in the apartment complexes. And you know, what's a little violence done? As long as it's mostly peaceful.
Well, and Charlene says maybe they're standing down to the gangs. The gangs report to somebody. Well, I think the way I understand how gangs work, the gangs report. I mean, there's a hierarchy, right?
Leadership is in Texas, though.
Yeah, not in Venezuela. Not in Venezuela anymore. It's like,
well, great.
But you know, and then they wonder why crime is up. It's like, well, you're
no, Julie, crime is down. Oh, don't you know that? My God, where have you been?
I'm sorry. Crime is down, and Venezuela. I mean, well, pretty soon it's going to be racist, right? To say that
it
violent
already is.
Well, you're right. It already is. We're racist for saying that it's bad to have violent Venezuelan gangs take over entire apartment complexes in Denver or in Aurora, and for the city and the police chief and some of the media, at least, not all of them are going.
No, it's this has been a Kyle Clark special,
right?
You know, he's gone.
Well,
really,
I mean, he was initially, you started saying there was no evidence, right? So then when the property management said, oh, no, we're saying this. He's like, they just ignore it. I mean, it's kind of like the Hunter Biden laptop story, right? It's a glitch. It's a glitch in the Channel 9 editing something or other. It's a glitch that they neglected to mention that.
It's just great.
It gives you
and the summer jubilation.
Well, and again, the people who live there are all Venezuelan, apparently, who are upset.
Well, maybe we'll have a new one with Chinese. There's a lot of Chinese that come in, one for Haitians. We could have an apartment complex for gang-oriented
That's
diversity.
That's true. And then they might take care of each other, right?
Yeah,
because, I mean, there's only, then they can have territorial disputes, I guess.
Sure.
In the meantime, what if you're just trying to live and work in Aurora? You're kind of,
That's not allowed.
That's not allowed anymore.
That's been allowed a long time ago.
That's not allowed anymore. Yeah, the gang leaders in Polis need to have a gang summit. Right, except they've been brought, yeah. I think these gang leaders, there was a time when gang members wanted to have a certain semblance of, you know, a patina of respectability. Not these guys. These are violent drug cartel gang members. They just want to
And they're not all drugs. That LGBTQ plus friendly.
No, they're not really. Yeah, I don't think they do summits, right? I don't think they do summits. Hey, that's going to wrap it up
that's
for
it.
Us. On this Wacky Wednesday, we have rescheduled the Newsmax CEO, Christopher Ruddy.
Which will be just great. He's had a very interesting life, and this will be fun.
That's right. And then on Monday, too, Robert Spencer is going to come on and talk about sort of the truth about, what's he call them, Hamas waltz, the Hamas waltz. So that'll do it for that. Thank you to everybody on Zoom.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We appreciate all your comments. We've gotten dozens and dozens and dozens, which is wonderful. So thank all the people who have sent things in.
That's right. And we'll see you on Party Friday.
Bye-bye.